ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః హరిః ఓం గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే జ్యేష్ఠరాజం బ్రహ్మణాం బ్రహ్మణస్పత ఆనశ్రవన్నోతిభిః సీదః సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం అమానిత్వమదంభిత్వం అహింసాక్షాంతిరార్జవం ఆచార్యోపాసనం శౌచం స్థైర్యమాత్మవినిగ్రహః. So we are looking at these qualities which are broadly represented as jnanam. Etat jnanam iti proktam. So in this context, it is worth paying attention to a very critical point. You see, brahmajnana, brahmajnani and brahma. Three, brahma, sarva jagat karanam brahma. Knowledge of the Brahma, Brahmajnanam, and the one who has that knowledge of the Brahma, Brahmajnani, all the three are same. They are not different. They are just one and the same. Jnanam is Brahma, and Jnani is Jnanam. So, three different words, but they point out only one reality. That reality is the Brahma, and that reality is the awareful being. It is Jnapti Swarupaha. It is the Chaitanyam. Therefore, it is the Jnanam. And the one knows that Brahma by being the Brahma, not like knowing the object or any such thing. You know Brahman by being the Brahman. Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. Therefore, once you understand, you are the Jnanam, and Jnanam is the Brahma. And so you abide as the pure, awareful being. That is the Brahma, Brahmajnani, that is the Brahmajnana. All are one and the same. Viewed in that context, etat Jnanam iti proktam. So these qualities are indeed called Jnanam, which amounts to saying, Sadguna praptireva Ishvara praptihi. That is the thesis. You acquire these qualities and then you will be able to abide as the awareful being because of these qualities. The absence of these qualities or the presence of their opposites, they are responsible for covering up the reality which is Brahman, which is already you. Therefore, what all needs to be done is acquire these qualities. And definitely these qualities are more negative than positive. It starts like that, amanitvam, adambhitvam, ahimsa. They are more negative. Even where they sound as positive, like kshanti. In kshanti also, it is a negative quality rather than a positive quality. You don't respond in this particular way. It is that kind of a thing it is. Anyway, ahimsa. You may indeed say some of these are positive quantities. The issue is not about negative or positive. It is mostly negative. Therefore, when all this negativity is eliminated, and so the reality comes into its own. So you don't acquire the reality by any other different effort. Reality is not the outcome of a process. It is not the outcome of a certain circumstances. It is already you. And only the negative qualities or the negativity associated with our lifestyles is preventing the reality to come into its own. And therefore, just acquire these qualities. You have already acquired, acquired the truth. Therefore, sadguna praptireva ishvara praptihi, that is a thesis. Gaining these qualities it amounts to gaining Ishvara. Because Ishvara is the Jnanam. And when these qualities are acquired, that Jnanam, that awareful being, comes into its own. That is the Ishvara. Therefore, It is indeed in the fitness of things that these qualities are called jnanam. Eta jnanam iti proktam. Bhagavan Buddha was asked, what is the essence of your teaching? So he said, the jagat is unreal. It is mithya. It is the projection of your mind. There is no reality to the jagat. This is what is called jagan nirakaranam. That is the first. Okay, then you acquire the ashtavidha charitra, the eightfold qualities. He counted as eight. Shankara in Brahma Sutra Bhashya counted as four. Doesn't matter. These four include those eight. So these qualities you acquire. Okay, that is the second part of the message. Okay, he kept quiet. Is that the end of the message? Yes. What about God? The God, you have not said anything about God. He said, you acquire these qualities. And he kept quiet. He remained silent. Then he was again pushed. What about God? He said, you acquire these qualities. And he remained silent. So, without saying, he says that you are the God. And so, you know it by being it. And so, how to be it? Just remove the obstacles for being what you are real, what you really are. So, in that context, these qualities have to be appreciated. So, it all becomes very simple. Even these qualities also, we have cultivated a lot of dross in our lives in the name of living, and then social engagement, and then family life, worldly life, practical life, pragmatic life, with all such names and phrases. So we have acquired a lot of dross in our lives, a lot of impurity in our lives, a lot of wrong values in our life. So this discussion provides an opportunity to look at those values and to eliminate some of the undesirable things. And as we do it, that is what we call sadhana. This is the sadhana. As we pursue this sadhana, the reality which you timelessly are, comes into its own. And this is the reason why these qualities are called jnanam. The very first quality is amanitvam. Every day when we take lunch, we say, nirmana mohaha, jita sanga doshaha. Like that we say in the Gita 15th chapter. So, mana is eliminated. Nirmana. Same thing is being said here, amanitvam. So, Sri Krishna repeats himself because the thing is very important. So, amanitvam. You become free from mana. So in that shloka, nirmana mohaha jita sanga doshaha, he advises to get rid of three things: mana, moha, sanga. So because mana is a self-aggrandizement, ego-aggrandizement is called mana. And then moha is a delusion. And then sanga is attachment. These three you eliminate. If you eliminate these three, what will happen? Padam avyayantat gacchantyamudhaha padam avyayantat. The delusion that has gripped you in life, thereby covering up the reality, will be gone. Amudhaha. And then that avyayam padam, the abode which is timeless and imperishable, avyayam, abode, it is imperishable because it is timeless. So, that is ever there. And not only ever there, you are that. And so, it sounds very simple. And it could be very simple also, provided we don't make it complex. So, this is the way the vision of Gita has to be appreciated. In that mana, moha and sangha, nirmana mohaha, jita sangha doshaha, in that mana, all the three give dukkham. So if you have mana, ego-aggrandizement, and we practice it, it puts us on a very high stress level. So you have to maintain a status for your egoic entity, and in maintaining that egoism in shape, so that you are approved by the society, in your view, society doesn't approve anybody. Society is a funny animal, it doesn't approve anybody. It is busy with itself. In fact, there is no society. If you care to look at it, there is no society. There is no society. You are the society. Once I was giving a talk somewhere. I said, there is no society. You are the society. Then somebody got up and said, what are you talking? What are you talking? Why you say there is no society? What kind of statement it is? I kept quiet. Then somebody got up and said, you think about it. Why are you in such a hurry? He made a statement. Now, it appears a crazy statement, but may not be there is some truth in it. You think about it. That is what the other person told him. So I thought, okay, you have answered him. So I said that to you because, so you think about it, don't conclude anything about it. You are the society. There is no society except in your imagination. Anyway, therefore this constantly trying to impress the others and presenting oneself as something superior, which he is not, knowing full well he is not, trying to present himself as superior, or trying to prove his glory before others in various ways. This is the mana. This mana is very painful. Dukkham. Dukkham means stress. In modern paribhasha, dukkham means stress. It is very stressful. So, if you go to a doctor, whenever you go to a doctor, don't ever say, my chest is heavy. Don't say that. If you say that, you are in soup. If you say, I feel somewhat heavy, so immediately stress test. Stress test costs $4,900. Insurance is there. Okay, insurance is there, but 2,000 is deductible. Now where will you go? Don't go. Don't say this to any doctor. Don't say it. You say to yourself, you feel a bit heavy, let us see what it will develop. So, that is stress. We create stress for ourselves. Dukkham. So, mana. And then mana is ahankara pradhana, aham pradhana. It is all about me. Me and mine. That is mana. Whereas moha is idam pradhana. Moha is all about idam, this. So, means this thing is very good. This dish will be very nice for me. Very tasty, this dish. Without this dish, food will be useless. With this dish, the food will be very tasty and very nice. And this alankara, this decoration is very beautiful. We need this decoration. Or this music is very great. It makes me happy. Idam makes me happy. This makes me happy. So this is called moha, delusion. It is always about idam. Then mana, moha, then sangha, attachment to idam. So these give dukkha. And so amanitvam, the absence of moha, absence of mana. So atmanaha shlaghanam, an effort to present oneself as superior, to present oneself as glorious, big, or present oneself as rich. So this is called mana. You see, in India, this person, he comes to the assembly, party or whatever, marriage or some assembly of people, he comes with a coat, very new coat, very shining coat. You know, coat. Coat is a very big thing. Coat and suit and all that. And he comes with it. He covers it and comes. And so he moves around very majestically because he feels that he is doing great by wearing this dress and all that. This is what people do all the time. So I am sure you know, you are able to get what I am trying to say. You see, the point is, he has hired this coat. It is not his. It is not swa. It is hired. So that means you can hire a coat. Not only coat, the entire set. A pant that goes along with the coat and also the tie set and they type in, all of them are hired. Everything is for hire. So he has hired them. And inside the coat there will be a shirt. He is not having a good shirt. In fact, there are patches in the shirt. It has some holes in it. So he removes the coat, then there are holes in that shirt. That is, so when he doesn't have proper dress, why should he impress others that he is great through dress? That is called mana. Some inner weakness. Mana is not a strength. It is a weakness of mind. When we are inwardly poor, so we indulge in every form of outward show. And for example, I am inwardly poor, insufficient, and therefore I try to show wealth before others. So wear a very costly dress, or wear some gold ornaments, or some golden ring, or golden buttons. For the coat, buttons are made of gold. Why gold? Plastic is good enough. You don't need even plastic. Some hole through which you can put a stick like this, that is all you need. The blessed thing should not come out, only that much. So, you don't need gold. But now, if you put gold buttons, you impress others. So, that means that inner poverty, inner insufficiency is expressing in this outward show, showing the wealth, and then showing power, and then showing possessions. So, this is how in modern society lifestyles, the outward show has become extraordinarily significant in people's lives. So, how I dress, how I present myself before the public, that becomes how I am is not important. How I present myself before others is very, very important. I may be very sick bodily. Bodily I am sick. I have all kinds of complications, this and that. And so daily half a dozen pills I am taking. But I cover up this sick body with a dress. Do you feel bad when I am saying all these things? Is it okay? Sometimes I get a doubt. Because you never know, you know. So the body is sick, but I cover it up with all kinds of a valuable dress and present a facade before others. So, suppose the person, he is not willing to be impressed by your dress. He wants to know within, inside that dress, so behind the curtain, kya hai? So, parde ke piche kya hai? What is behind the curtain? So, he wants to know, okay, the dress is okay, I have seen your dress, wonderful. What is your BP? Suppose he is a doctor, suppose. What is your BP? 170. Then what are you doing about it? Go and do pranayama. Don't try to impress us with dress. So, something like that. Anyway, this kind of a display of wealth, display of power. In India, this display of power is very much on display. Like the politician walks. He walks with a coterie around him. Like a rock star walking, surrounded by so many people. Very, very strong people will be walking around the rock star. So, anyway, display of possessions. Display possessions. So, I should have a home which impresses others. This is called mana. So, you want to impress others by showing the drawing room. And then the sofa set must be very impressive. And then the teapoy, they call teapoy. A small bench where you put a cup of tea, that is called a teapoy. So that must be very impressive. So how to make it very impressive? Big teapoy you bring. Highly decorated or carved or whatever, you bring it. And then put all kinds of things on it so that when the teacup comes, you don't find place to put it. This is how you want to impress others. This is called mana. So, amanitvam. And when our hearts are empty, we collect things, what is called parigraha. So there is an inner emptiness which we want to fill by filling the space at home. So create more space first. You need simple small space to live, you don't need big space. So first create big space and then start furnishing it. This effort on the part of people is a betrayal of inner poverty. And so the acquisitive spirit, which is so prevalent in modern societies, is definitely not the love of beauty. It arises, the acquisitive spirit is not out of love of beauty. The acquisitive spirit, it is a product of the desire for security, which only proves that there is insecurity in the heart. So, I want to be secure is a kind of insensitivity. So, anyway, think about it. The desire to be secure creates fear. Because first you have to perceive yourself to be insecure, and then the desire for to be secure arises from that sense of insecurity. You are not insecure, you are fine, but you believe that you are insecure, you feel you are insecure, so from that sense of insecurity comes the desire to be secure. The desire to be secure produces fear. Also, in this acquisitive spirit, when we try to impress others by acquisitiveness, so an object, however beautiful it may be, it soon loses its appeal for us. We become accustomed to it. For example, instead of purchasing a watch which shows you time properly, suppose you purchase a diamond watch, diamond studded watch, like $100,000 watch. So now you wear it. You cannot keep it inside. You have to wear it. And if you wear it, you are in the danger of being mugged if somebody knows that it is that. And if the other person doesn't know that it is $100,000 watch, then what is the fun of wearing a 100%? It is all very muddle-headed thing it is. Very muddle-headed thing it is. So, this is called mana. So, anyway, this $100,000 watch, it is supposed to be a beautiful thing, and I am supposed to have a love for beauty. It is not any of that. It is not beautiful. That is not what beauty is. And your possessing that is not a product of your love for beauty. It is all mana, which is a direct outcome of that inner poverty. You are empty within, and that's why you are trying to fill that emptiness with this kind of acquisitiveness. It is insecurity, and this $100,000 watch, it will soon lose its appeal. It will become the part of your mechanical or routine life, and you will not feel any appeal for it, any enthusiasm for it after a week. And then, in a way, beauty, it may be still beautiful. It continues to be beautiful, assuming that it is beautiful in one sense. The beauty is still there, but you lose appeal for it. Now you start looking for some other beauty elsewhere. Therefore, we are no longer open to that beauty, because the beauty is still there, but we have become mechanical to it, very mechanical. So, a friend of mine purchased a flat overlooking Hudson River in Manhattan. It costs $100,000 more than the opposite flat, for the simple reason, it's same space, same accommodation, same furnishings, for the simple reason that you can look at Hudson River through window. For that reason, it costs $100,000 extra. And for that reason, so he fell into that trap. The realtor told him, you can see Hudson from here, so beautiful, from 27th floor. When you look at Hudson, the boats zigzagging this way, that way. And so it is, what a beautiful sight. Morning time, the birds will be flying. The geese, like this, the realtor has put him into his trap. and he fell for it. And I went to visit him. He is my close friend. Therefore, I asked him, last time, when did you look out of the window and enjoyed this scene? You tell me frankly. You tell me frankly. He looked up and down. I'm so busy in the last 3 months. That means 3 months back you looked out of the window with a view to enjoy the beauty, not just casually looking out of the window, with a view to enjoy it. Why do you waste the money like that? So you can go and sit on a bench on the Hudson River and enjoy it. Why do you read this? This is all acquisitive spirit. And this is mana, this is madness. People are nuts. So, this is the... whatever you acquire, within a week, it becomes part of our monotonous existence. So, we have to rise above these silly things. Amanitvam. Then adambhit. I suppose I have discussed some of these things in the earlier class. Doesn't matter, I need not finish any course now. I'm free. I need not finish any text. I need not even finish this verse. In fact, I assure you I'm not going to finish this verse. So, anyway, dambha, adambhitvam. Is it? A different variety. Similar thing. Dambhitvam is also similar thing. Dambho dharmadvajaha. So now this is field of spirituality. Amanitvam is the field of worldliness. The worldly people are like that, mostly mana. Dambha is the spirituality. So I want to show to people that I am a spiritual person, a great sacred person. So a pious person I am. I have to show to others. So how to show? So now the piety is measured in terms of outward form. Because you have to show inward piety, the other person cannot see. Other person will be able to experience it after some close contact. The piety is in the form of love. That only after a close contact you will experience it. Oh, he's a pious person. You can experience it. But straight away I have to impress the other people that I am a pious person. That immediately proves that there is no piety within. Again, inner emptiness. There is no piety within. That intense devotion to Ishvara, the trust and the capacity to trust Ishvara, the capacity to surrender to Ishvara is missing. A lot of worldliness is sitting here. I told you, parde ke piche kya hai? So, what is there behind the curtain? Curtain is the facade. And behind the curtain, what is there? So what is going on in the mind? It may not be anything to do with piety, but I present a very pious appearance. Oh, he must be a pious person. Why? Because of the dress, the marks on the face, and some of the things, mala, etc. in the neck, and then hairstyle could also be considered pious. So this is called a dambha. And we discussed this dambha. In fact, a person was doing a ritual, Sandhyavandanam it is called. It is the daily prayer that a Vaidika performs in the morning and evening, at the time of Sandhya, twilight time. So in the morning and evening. So in an Indian context, it is morning 6 o'clock and evening 6 o'clock, around that time, that is how it is. And so he is doing that prayer. It is a private communion with Ishvara. It is an inner prayer, more meditative thing. Sandhya, dhyai chintaya, dhyanam. Dhya is dhyanam only, meditative it is, Gayatri Japam and all that. And so this person, he performs his Sandhyavandanam on the outside platform of the home. At evening 6, he is seriously doing his Sandhyavandanam. And there is a traffic on the road. And all the people who are going from this side to that side and that side to this side on the road, that too evening time there will be more. India means a hustle and bustle. Lot of hustle and bustle. There will be no cars or any such thing. People will be walking back and forth, up and down. All of them see him. Oh, So some of them ignore, some of them get impressed, some of them feel, oh, the khavata, like that. Whatever they feel, they feel. So he is trying to prove to the village people, village folk, that he is a very pious person. So such an attitude is called dambha. It is a self-deception. We have discussed this also. So one has to overcome this dambha and mana. How to overcome? Mahadupasanaya. So you spend quality time in the company of Mahatmas, and so by watching the Mahatmas and by interacting with them, and learning by observation, so by all these things it should be possible to overcome mana and moha. Of course, we should have that earnestness to get rid of mana and moha. So given that earnestness, then association with Mahatmas, it helps to overcome mana and dambha. But at the same time, association with the people of mana and the people of dambha should be avoided at all costs. If you associate with people of mana, they will say, hey, what kind of dress is that? You want to come to the party with this dress? Yeah, come on. Are you kidding? You cannot do that. Come on. So like that they say. So that kind of an association will spoil the whole situation. So you should avoid such association. Totally you should avoid it and have association with Mahatmas. And that helps our spiritual, really pious people. So that helps in overcoming the defects of mana and dambha. When mana and dambha are overcome, there is a peace inside. You settle into a quietude and a silence, inner silence. So it is the mana and dambha which create a lot of restlessness in the mind. And when you are free from those bad qualities, very undesirable qualities, so you are into a marvelous inner silence. Amanitvam adambhitvam. And then ahimsa. So, total absence of himsa. Himsa means violence. Ahimsa is non-violence. So, causing injury. So, violence. Himsa could be mental, because we have what are called trikarana, three instruments. Karana is an instrument. So for interacting with the world, you employ these instruments. That's why they are called karana. One is mind. So you employ mind, you think. Thinking is the first step in the worldly interaction, what we call vyavahara. In the vyavahara, it all begins with the thinking. So manaha, the inner tool, the inner tool of cognition and the tool of mentation or ideation, that faculty, inner faculty, so that is called manaha, the first karana, and then walk, the second karana, third kaya, body. Body means hands, legs, etc., the organs of action. So three means or three instruments by which one can cause injury to the other. To any living being, not necessarily other human beings. Of course, you should not cause injury to human beings. On the same lines, one should not cause injury to animals, birds, any living creature. Even a small creature is walking its way and you notice something is crawling there, you should avoid that path and you should cross it safely. Sometimes in India what we notice, the path is filled with ants, somehow they are crossing. When it rains, the footpath is covered with ants everywhere. Okay, then go home, go back. Don't walk now. You walk inside the home. Unknowingly, unwittingly, I may step on one of these ants. And so, people don't come into the, they don't come to walk and all that. This is called chaturmasya, especially sannyasis. They stay put at one place. Chaturmasya means, masa means 15 days. That is the meaning of masa. That meaning is also there. Therefore, 2 months. That means that rainy season. When it is raining, you just don't go outside. I mean, minimal. So, because if you are traveling, in those days they used to travel by walk, footpaths. The footpaths are filled with crawling creatures, because when the rains come, they come out of the earth and they will be crawling back and forth everywhere. Even here also you can see. When it rains, it is very difficult to go to the road for walk. Better to go to the machine. Because on the road, all these creatures will be crawling. And you step on them. Even one creature you step on, that becomes himsa, a violence. So we should avoid it. So even unwitting violence, if it is no, if you can guess that probably some violence will happen if I walk now, then you should withdraw from that. So that kind of a very high degree of sensitivity in avoiding violence of all kinds, manovakkaya. So in the mind also, you should not entertain any feeling of ill will. If you, the other person is not affected by our feeling of ill will, he will get his sukha and his dukkha by his prarabdha, not because of our ideas or our thinking about the person. So, but by entertaining the ill will against the other person in the mind, you are corroding your own mind. It is just a corrosion, inner corrosion. So you should not do that. If you do that, that becomes manasika himsa. Suppose I remember a person. This person has done some injustice to me. That was my perception. Injustice is all perception. He may think that he is done injustice by me. It is all perception. Now who will settle it? In the worldly thing, the court will settle it. The judge in the court will settle it. Who has done justice and who has not done justice. Who will judge it? Whereas we get what we deserve mostly. All sukha dukkha. We create our own sukha dukkha. The other people are only nimitta. Means they are incidental. So that way we understand. And therefore there is no occasion for any ill will. So, but I don't understand that correctly. So the human weakness is like that. Therefore I remember this person's name. I remember him. Immediately I say, oh, what a bad guy he is. May misfortune befall him. Or may misfortune visit him. That kind of a wish. He may be somewhere in India, busy, maybe sleeping also. When we are a day here, that is night, he will be sleeping there, snoring away. Whereas I think of him and say, may some misfortune should befall him, because he is a very bad guy. That is called manasika himsa. So that kind of ideation or mentation, it comes under himsa, violence. It is mental violence. And then vagrupa himsa. So, you use harsh words against the other person. Harsh language you use. So, I hate you, suppose. No, yesterday you said I love you. Yeah, that was yesterday. Today I hate you. I am reiterating it. I hate you. This is intense violence it is. Because the other person, it is like, it is called vagbanam. The arrow in the form of speech. It directly hits the heart. And the person, he feels very hurt. Hurt means physical hurt and mental hurt. The physical hurt will heal. You apply some Johnson and Johnson patch, it will go in a day. But the mental hurt won't heal. It remains. And the person, whenever he remembers that he was insulted like that, he will feel unhappy. And he will feel very agitated and unhappy. So this way, vagrupa, so the violence in the form of vak, and then kaya, physically assaulting the person, that is kaya. Three kinds of violence, mano, vak, kaya. Then this violence, I am just analyzing the structure of violence, himsa, so that once you understand himsa in all its facets, then we can keep away from it. That is the idea. Is understanding the blueprint of samsara, you know, so that we can dismantle it. So, krodhena himsa, lobhena himsa, mohena himsa. The himsa is inspired by three mindsets. Anger and frustration, it impels the person to commit himsa. Manasika himsa, he is angry, therefore he wishes ill for the other person. He is angry, he speaks ill of the other person. He is angry, therefore he gives a slap to the other person, assaults. physical assault. Physical assault may not be found in sophisticated societies, the high-end societies. You don't find physical assault. They are very sophisticated. Oh, how do you do? Very glad to see you. But cursing in the mind, why is this guy here? This is all sophistication, all facade. Whereas in the villages, back in India, they are not so sophisticated. Even in our parliament, they feel they want to be very open-minded, you know. So I'm angry. And so I am angry means I'm angry. Why should I hide my angry? I feel like hitting you, so take the, this is the immediately available missile. And so they put a mic before everybody, this member of parliament. So they pull out the mic and hit the other guy. And that's why there are ambulances, doctors and marshals, they are all kept there. Whereas here it is all sophistication. So, very sophisticated. How do you do? I wish you, these are two presidential candidates. I wish you well. What wish you well? You want him to be defeated. So, but outwardly, it is very sophisticated. The kayika himsa is very, very crude it is. Very gross way of violence. Here, in sophisticated societies, they directly don't engage in assaulting, physical assault. They employ somebody. There are mercenaries. Just pay some money and he will take care of that dirty job. Our hands should not become dirty. Blood should not stick to our hands. But blood should shed. Blood should be shed. But my hands should not be dirtied. This is how they do. Manasa. That is all manasa. Anyway, so anger and frustration. Then lobha. Lobha means greed. Greed makes us commit lots of himsa. So greed. In the case of when the corporate greed is there. In the corporate greed, there is a lot of himsa. They kidnap the technician, the scientist of the opposite company. Or do something. Or sabotage something. This kind of corporate himsa is there. This corporate himsa means the violence promoted by corporate people. It is a great violence. And this is very well recorded also. A lot of violence because of corporate greed. For example, this diamonds, you know. Diamonds are there. Diamonds forever. They say, diamonds forever. Atma forever, not diamonds forever. But they say diamonds forever. And they are called blood diamonds, you know. Blood diamonds. Because every time a diamond is traded in Europe or in America, a few people are killed in Angola. Angola or some country. Sudan, Angola, etc. These South Africa is somewhat better. There is Angola, Sudan, and in these countries, the diamonds are mined forcibly. Sometimes the mining people are chained. They are all on chain, a big chain, some 100 yards chain, and they are all chained to that. Now they enter into that muddy waters and dig up the mud. And clean the mud and try to pick up diamonds, raw diamonds. And anybody who violates the order will be killed. So there is a name for it, blood diamonds. So this is greed, corporate greed. I saw a documentary where even the De Beers company diamonds, they are not sure anymore whether they are blood diamonds or whether they are benign diamonds. It is not about the quality of the diamond. The way it is mined, etc., it is associated with a lot of bloodshed. In fact, you may wonder, no exaggeration, 100,000 people were killed in Angola in the context of the diamond trade. So, the gangs engage in diamond trade. Illegal mining, the gangs engage. And so there is a gang war, like mafia gangs. And so many people are killed. And there is a lot of collateral damage because simple people are also killed in the process. Lot of blood. So this is how lobha, I gave you an example, how lobha, greed can inspire a lot of violence. This is the corporate greed. It may be there at the personal level also. A family level, greed also inspires violence. For example, an irrigation canal is there. This happens in India. So an irrigation canal is there. It has certain amount of water. And my field should be irrigated. And then the other person also wants his field to be irrigated. The sun is blazing away. If the irrigation is delayed, watering is delayed, the plants will wither away. And so there is a fight. And in the process, there is a feud between two families, rich families. And they want to make good money out of agriculture and all that. So they don't want to hurt because of this water problem. And therefore, there will be violence. So this is a greed-impelled violence. Then moha. Moha means infatuation or delusion, infatuation. All violence arising out of sadism, fetishness, these things are there. So such violence, it is moha violence. Means some people, in India we have seen, the teacher, I was a high school student, this was there. The teacher comes with the stick to the class. And we are all sitting in the row, and he comes and hits like this. Get up. What is boils la? He asks. Even before answering, you got all stick. And he is just standing there with this stick. And I know boils la, the blessed lie, I know very well. But because of this stick, etc., instead of boils la, I say charles la. And so he hits it twice now. Some sadism. So, moha. In a very benign sadism it is. A very simple kind of sadism. There can be very complicated sadisms. So this is that kind of himsa. Therefore now how many kinds of himsa we have? 9. 3 into 3. Because manovakkaya, krodha, lobha, moha. 9 kinds of himsa we have. Then the himsa could be mrudu madhya adhika, a soft himsa, and intense himsa adhika, and moderate himsa madhya. This is all from Yoga Darshanam, Patanjali Yoga Darshanam. I am describing it. If you visit Patanjali Yoga Darshanam, this sadhana pada, the second section, second volume, there you will find it. Patanjali is the proponent of ahimsa, the very first proponent of ahimsa, Patanjali. And then, very interestingly, Vyasa Maharshi in Mahabharata, he puts ahimsa as the highest dharma, ahimsa paramo dharma. This is from Mahabharata. Of course, the Gita is also from Mahabharata. Ahimsa is given very high place. And then comes Mahavira of Jainism. He is a great proponent of ahimsa. From India, I am telling. And then comes Buddha, Bhagavan Buddha, great proponent of ahimsa. And then Shankara, among the philosophers, he is very powerful in refuting all kinds of wrong philosophies, but in the heart he is very compassionate. And he is a great proponent of ahimsa. And then comes Mahatma Gandhi in modern times. So, India has a very rich history of ahimsa. So, mrudu madhya adhika. You say something in jest, jest, J-E-S-T, jest, for parihasa it is called. In jest you say something. And the other person, it hurts him that you say that to him. It hurts him. And yet he doesn't do anything about it. Because it is said in jest, So he smiles and keeps quiet. But in the heart he was hurt. Mild hurt. He is not going to feel unhappy about it for days. But at that moment, yes, he is hurt. This is called mild vagrupa himsa. Mild himsa. And then a little more himsa, moderate himsa, and then adhika himsa. For example, sometimes even the parents, like mother or father, they beat the children a little more harshly. That is madhyama. And sometimes even really harsh beating they give to the kids, and so that is adhika. Adhika himsa. This kind of mrudu, madhya, adhika, all kinds of himsa are possible. Now, how many himsas are there now? 27 himsas are there. Then, therefore, three more types. Krita, karita, anumodita. There is a sutra about it. Krita, karita, anumodita. Like that the sutra continues in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So krita means you perform, you commit the himsa yourself directly. Krita. With your own hands you do it. Or with your own thinking you do it. That is also krita. Or verbally you abuse somebody. That is also krita. You do it. So manovakkaya. And then karita. You get it done. So you employ a person. So whenever some himsa is to be done, so he will do that himsa. So the corporate people, they do lot of lobbying. And the lobbying is what? The other person is bad, I am good. I have seen, I don't know whether you noticed, but I noticed it. Maybe I notice all kinds of silly things probably, that is also there. So in India, they give commercials, right? Like washing powder is there. This washing powder is a big commercial, very ubiquitous, everywhere you find it. So Nirma, Nirma, like that, TV, radio, everywhere, Nirma, Nirma, like that. Nirma is a washing powder. And then the Surf, washing powder. Another, these are the two washing powder giants in India. So here the washing powder doesn't seem to be such an important item. But in India it is very important item. Anyway, so the Surf says our washing powder is the best. And Nirma, and he has his own, so one lady comes and washes, all the stains are gone, this and that, usual stuff. And then Nirma is also like that. One young girl comes and dances Nirma, Nirma like that. So this is how it goes. But here it is not like that. Here it is not like that. Here, suppose the Surf and Nirma are in America, suppose. Then how would they advertise? The Surf guys comes and says, this is Surf and this is Nirma. And Surf is washing 100 clothes. Whereas the Nirma is a poor comparison, it can wash only 20 clothes. Therefore Nirma is useless, Surf is very good. Like that he shows. It is not allowed in India. In India if you do that, they will take you to court. They don't believe in court and all that. Put fire to the building. 100 hooligans will go and throw stones and put fire to the building. Don't do this again. So, here it is done. They advertise their product while denigrating the other product in the same category, they advertise their product. I have seen even medical is like that. So one person is, he wants headache tablets, all the time tablets for headache. How many tablets we will take in, I don't understand. So, he is taking ibuprofen. Oh, ibuprofen, how many tablets per day? Three per day. Three per day? Anyway, then comes Stylenol. Three per day. Twice at a time. So, Stylenol. Then one lady comes in the meanwhile. Tuck, tuck, tuck comes. What are you searching for? Why are you searching? The Tylenol is useless. Ibuprofen is even more useless. Aleve is the thing. She takes it and goes away. So they advertise like that. This is himsa. Verbal himsa. You promote your product by denigrating the other person's product. So this is how the lobby groups, etc., they engage in a lot of verbal himsa. And karita. And so the corporate people employ for himsa only. And sometimes they give the name human relations expert or some such name. HR. HR is what? HR is a human relations, I suppose. Or public relations expert, PR expert. What is PR expert? We are great, everybody else is useless. That is the PR expert. So, krata, karita. At the family level it could be done. At the individual level it could be done. Karita. And then anumodita. This anumodita, that's why ahimsa is very tough. Living a life of ahimsa, I am describing this, all this, because to show you how tough it is. I am sure at the end of this description, one may wonder, my God, there is himsa in my life. So, anumodita. Anumodita means you nod your head. Yeah, well done. So, United States of America, it sent that B-52 bomber. This B-52 bomber, it takes off somewhere in Europe, in some base in Europe. It was in Britain. Britain, there was a base, because America and Britain were fighting together against Iraq, you know. So there was a base in Britain. And so B-52 takes off from that base. It has a 5,000-pound bombs in it, all fixed to the wings. So 5,000-pound each bomb. And so it goes. 10 hours flight to Iraq. 10 hours. 10 hours or 8 hours, whatever. And some of these flights are fueled in the air. The flight B-52 takes off from here, suppose. Somewhere on the Atlantic, there is a fuel tank, air. And they have the technology, so fuel will be transported. It need not land. Fuel will be provided in the air only. Under that jet aviation fuel. And it goes on to Iraq. And puts all the bombs on Iraq. As if somebody is there to fight. Who is fighting whom? There is nobody to fight. there is no army. Everybody has run away. There is no army to fight. But still go and put all those bombs. And then come back. Well done. That is anumodita. Well done. Anumodita. We should not extol. I mean, it is great, wonderful. So, that means you are taking a small part in himsa. Small part or big part, God knows, it is a one part of himsa. Anumodita. Means, you approve it, approval, that is the word. You approve it and you praise it. Well done. You praise it. And so that is the himsa. And then sometimes you justify it. How can that be done? Yeah, it can be done. So, you see, one person, there was an argument. So many innocent people were killed. Then, collateral damage cannot be avoided. Oh, is it? Yeah. Then this person gave him left and right and said, okay, this is what collateral damage is. Keep quiet. So, anyway, so anumodita means you approve. This is nice. This is wonderful. You approve. Mahatma Gandhi is very old-fashioned. Things can't go like that. There must be himsa. Approval. That is himsa. Approval itself is himsa. Now, krita, karita, anumodita. Now, how many kinds of himsas are there? 81. 81 kinds of himsa. And Patanjali Maharshi says, a person in whose life there is no himsa belonging to any one of these 81 types, it is called Mahavratam. Sarvabhaumo Mahavratam. So, Sarvabhumika, all varieties, at all levels, whatever himsa is there, that is avoided altogether. So, you see, some people practice ahimsa selectively. They say, deshagata ahimsa. Means, in particular places we don't do ahimsa. Like, don't kill a goat on Tirumala Hills. Tirumala Hills is there, you know. No meat shops in Tirumala. we can have double the number of meat shops in downtown. There you can have all the meat shops, but not in Tirumala. This is Deshagata Ahimsa. In India we have clamor. Clamor means people want it. No meat shops near a temple, no drink shops near, no liquor shops near a temple, and no liquor shops near an educational institution. This is how people, some people they ask for it, but they never get what they ask for. Because these shops are all there around temples, around high schools, and they are there. Because they go by supply and demand. So they have their own dynamics. They don't care for a temple and a school and all that. So this kind of thing is called Deshagata, Himsa or Ahimsa. So if you are talking of Ahimsa, it is Deshagata Ahimsa. Means you are okay with Ahimsa in a given place. But at other places Ahimsa you don't accept. You don't practice. Only at that place Ahimsa you practice. Then Kalagata Ahimsa. I have a friend. He says, I love chicken biryani. Chicken biryani is a non-veg dish. He loves it. He eats it every day. But on Saturday he won't eat it. Why Saturday? Saturday is Balaji, Venkateswara Swami. So, I told him, you are making a mistake. Even Venkateswara Swami would not approve what you are doing. So, you take to the name of Venkateswara Swami and avoid Himsa all the 7 days, 24/7, you should avoid. Not on Saturday, I won't eat this. So, this kind of Kalagata Ahimsa, at some times Ahimsa, will continue. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamada Chiyate Purnameva Avashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om.